On the line, I have Professor Carl LaRue from UCD. And I'm not going to even try, I'll give it a try and read. He's Director of Metabolic Medicine Lab, Diabetes Complications Research Centre at the Conway Institute and UCD. Good morning, Professor LaRue.
Good morning.
Now, what I left out were all the letters after your name. There must have been 15 or 20 letters after your name. You've been studying a while, I think.
Yes, some of us really like university and like working there and like studying there. So, but that's part of the joys of being a clinician scientist, so somebody who sees both patients but are also able to do research.
Indeed, and it's an area that I'm fascinated in. You because I think, in your press release, you've mentioned it. We have two pandemics at the moment. One is COVID-19, but the other then across the world is obesity.
That's right, and we actually are seeing that these two pandemics are interacting with one another, because for some time we've now known that obesity is a disease in its own right, but obesity also makes people predisposed to other complications, and we are seeing now that patients with obesity are at much higher risk of developing severe COVID-19 complications. So really what we are trying to do is to try and understand what obesity is and how we can predict which patients are at the highest risk of complications of obesity, and again, which patients will respond to our treatments, be that diet treatments, medications, or even surgical treatments.
And the thing about obesity is a lot of people think, oh, obesity is just people are overeating and that, but some people are just predisposed to being obese.
That's right, but also our scientific understanding is changing really by the day. If you can imagine, if we had this conversation 50 years ago, we would have talked about cancer as one disease. But today we know that even breast cancer, there's 9 different diseases that happen to be inside the breast. And depending on what disease you have inside the breast when it comes to cancer, we will use treatment A or we will use treatment B. Now, what we're understanding, obesity is similar. It's not only one disease, it's probably a set of different diseases. And of course, as we as doctors get better at diagnosing what type of disease you have that's causing obesity, then we are going to be much better at treating it. But I think you are fair to say that we do not blame patients anymore. In the same way as we don't blame people for developing cancer, or we don't blame people for developing dementia, we don't blame people for developing the disease of obesity. But what we really want to do is try and understand it, treat it better, because of course it is the patient's responsibility to take the treatment, but they can only take the treatments if it works.
And there's a new 16 million EU and industry supported international research consortium. Tell us about that.
So the European Union has asked industry across the European Union, what are the biggest questions that you have? And industry has come to the European Union and said, one of the biggest questions we have is that obesity is killing people within the European Union, and we want to be part of that solution. So the European Union has put 8 million euro of their money in. Industry, and that is diet approaches, medication approaches, surgical approaches, but also people who are looking after patients with diabetes, for example, and organizations responsible, they have put another 8 million in the pot. So we have been asked to lead this consortium together with industry and 29 partners across Europe to try and find those predictors for the risks of obesity and to find the predictors for the response to obesity treatment. Because if we can find those two predictors, then what will happen is suddenly obesity can be treated more effectively, but also more cost effectively. because, you know, it's an expensive disease to treat, and we don't want to take more taxpayers' money if we don't know how to apply it properly. So the taxpayer will benefit, the patients will benefit, of course industry will benefit too, because they can then make better treatments that we can use. So everybody wins.
And we have to remember, I think, as well, is that there's roughly 150 million people in Europe suffer with complications or problems from obesity. And that all, you know, it's costing our health systems money the whole time. So putting 16 million into this is really just small potatoes, to be honest, to the money that we can save if we can help the majority of these people.
I think that's fair to say, but the European Union also had to get value for their money. So they're putting 16 million into this. So that's why there was a competition, and you know, our consortium were fortunate enough to be asked to take this research forward, because we also have to provide value for money when we do research. And again, University College Dublin is very good at doing just that, good quality research, you know, but providing value, because, you know, it is taxpayers' money at the end. And we as scientists are responsible for the work we do. And we need to try to really move the needle. We need to really make a difference with the funding that is available to us. This is the first time that the European Union has invested in obesity as a disease. They've done this many times for other important diseases as well. So it's a good thing that obesity is being recognized for the first time. But we also have a responsibility as researchers to make sure that we can actually provide the information that's going to make European citizens' lives better.
And what... maybe you can explain to us, what will you actually be doing? You know, will you be carrying out actual research trials and tests, or will you be more of a desktop type research of going through all the data that's there, that's available at the moment, and different research projects and coming to conclusions? Or how will it work?
So this is an holistic project, and we have really sort of three major phases. The first phase is where we're going to use existing patient data as well as sample information, and we're going to use the most intelligent approaches, including artificial intelligence and machine learning, to take the information that's already available and crunch the numbers and come up with the new predictors. Now, of course, that's phase one. Now, phase two is, once we found these predictors, we have to validate them. We have to make sure that it is correct. And then we're going to measure these predictors in new samples that we've collected from patients. And then our final step, and probably the most important step, is what we call shared value analysis, where we're going to take this information and say, how can we help the regulators or the payers or the public health systems like the HSE to implement this in a cost-effective way to benefit patients, to benefit the regulators, to benefit the taxpayers, to really find that shared value where everybody wins. So those are the three phases, but it really promises in the next 5 years to be very exciting. Not only because we're going to discover new things, but we're also going to work on how to implement this so that the European citizen on the ground can benefit immediately.
I have to say, the way you've explained it, it sounds like an absolutely fascinating project. And I certainly wish you the best with it, because I know at the end of the day, it will financially help me. Because if we can get to grips with obesity as a problem, it will lighten the tax burden, but it also leave more money out there for the rest of the health system as well.
That's right.
Professor, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. I wish you all the best with your program. Is there anything our listeners can do to support you at all?
So we are working very closely with the Irish Coalition for People Living with Obesity, And really, if this disease affects you or affects a family member, then please reach out to them. This is the ICPO, and they are really advocating for patients, and we think the patient voice is so important in all of this, and we want to hear from listeners how we can help them and what are the challenges that they face so that we as researchers can address those.
I've one final question for you, and it's on a kind of a socio-economic basis. How much does where you stand on the socio-economic scale, how much does that affect your chances of being obese?
Very good question. So when we look at all the different socioeconomic strata, so from the wealthiest people to the poorest people, what we see is that people who are poor have a higher number of them that have obesity. But if we look at the richest people in society, we see a normal distribution of body weight. That means in the richest people, there are people who are normal weight, there are people who are overweight, and there are people who are obese. If we look at the same in the poorest in society, you see exactly the same distribution. Now, what happens in people who are poorer, that so-called curve is slightly shifted towards obesity. But it means that nobody in society is immune from the disease of obesity. But also very, very important that obesity is not your fault. So if you have the disease of obesity, it's not because you've done something wrong. It's not because you are not a good citizen or you are not listening to the public health messages. And that's why we want people with obesity from all strata in society to ask their doctors, the general practitioners, please help me. Because only if we get people to ask for help can we provide them with the treatment. So nobody is immune, but certainly we see that the environment does play a role, but it's not the only role because this is a biological disease.
Professor Leroux, once again, many thanks for chatting to me this morning.
Thank you.
All the best. Take care. Bye-bye.